Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhai, and today we're Sechaz Erev and Daf Ein Dalet. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, there's a three-way machlokes regarding what type of mavui can be adjusted with a lechi or a kora. Rav said, "Ein mavui nitte b'lechi v'kora ad shiu batim v'chetzeros b'suchim l'socho." A mavui is not rendered permissible with a lechi or a kora unless there are houses and chetzeros opening into it, which means at least two chetzeros that each contain two homes. Shmuel said, afil bais echad v'chatzor achas, even one with just one house without a chatzor, and one chatzor to which at least one house opens. Rabbi Yochanan said, afil churva, even one with a ruin on one side, and a chatzor to which at least one house opens. Rabbi Yosef clarified to Abai that Rabbi Yochanan did not permit a mavui if a path through a vineyard is on one side of the mavui instead of the ruin. The difference is that a ruin is chazil adira, somewhat suitable for a residence, whereas the vineyard path is not. Point number two, the Gemara relates that when Rabbi Elazar overheard someone give over Shmuel's opinion that a mavui can be adjusted even if it's just one house without a chatzor and one chatzor to which at least one house opens, he was surprised and went to challenge Shmuel, since Shmuel said, "Ein lanu be'erevin el b'lashim shnasneinu." We do not have the right to establish leniencies in the laws of Erevin other than those found in the wording of the Mishnah. And he applied that to our Mishnah that stated, "Sham mavui l'chetzeros k'chatzor l'batim." The relationship of a mavui to its chetzeros is similar to the relationship of a chatzor to its houses. The plural form of chetzeros implies that more than one chatzor is required to grant mavui status. Shmuel was silent, and the Gemara seeks to determine if his silence meant that he accepted or that he rejected the challenge. And point number three, the Gemara suggested that Shmuel did not retract his position based on a mavui in which Eva's Bar-Ihi lived that was adjusted with a lechi and Shmuel permitted it. The Gemara in Amud Beis clarifies that a shul also opened into the mavui that contained an apartment, making this a case of a mavui with one chatzer, the one in which Eva's lived, and one house, the apartment in the shul. After Shmuel's death, Rav Anan came and threw the lechi down because it didn't have two chatzeros with two houses each opening into it, and Eva's protested since the lechi was done under the direction of Shmuel. This seems to indicate that Shmuel did not retract his position. The Gemara rejects his proof, saying that Shmuel did accept Rabbi Elazar's objection and retract it, and required two chetzeros with two houses each. In this case, the chazan of the shul would eat his meals at his home in another chetzer and sleep in the shul. Since Shmuel held the makam lina gorim, where one sleeps, defines his residence, the shul building was considered a regular chetzer with two homes, the room the chazan slept in, as well as another apartment in it. This, together with the chetzer of Eva's, made this mavui legitimate, since it was considered now to have two chetzeros. So once again, the three points are: number one, there's a three-way machlokes regarding what type of mavui can be adjusted with a lechi or a kora. Rav said, "Ein mavui nitte b'lechi v'kora ad shiu batim v'chetzeros b'suchim l'socho." A mavui is not rendered permissible with a lechi or a kora unless there are houses and chetzeros opening into it, which means at least two chetzeros that each contain two homes. Shmuel said, "Afil bais echod v'chatzor achas." Even a mavui with just one house without a chatzor and one chatzor to which at least one house opens. Rabbi Yochanan said, afil churva, even a ruin on one side and a chatzor to which at least one house opens. Rabbi Yosef clarified to Abai that Rabbi Yochanan did not permit a mavui if a path through a vineyard is on one side of the mavui instead of the ruin. The difference is that a ruin is chazil adira, somewhat suitable for a residence, whereas the vineyard path is not. Point number two, the Gemara relates that when Rabbi Elazar overheard someone give over Shmuel's opinion that a mavui can be adjusted even if it just has one house without a chatzor and one chatzor to which at least one house opens, he was surprised and went to challenge Shmuel. Since Shmuel had said, "Ein lanu be'erevin el b'lashim shnaseinu," we do not have the right to establish leniencies in the laws of Erevin other than those found in the wording of the Mishnah. And he applied that to our Mishnah that stated, "Sham mavui l'chetzeros k'chatzor l'batim." The relationship of a mavui to its chetzeros is similar to the relationship of a chatzor to its houses. The plural form of a chetzeros implies that more than one chatzor is required to grant mavui status. Shmuel was silent, and the Gemara seeks to determine if his silence meant that he accepted or that he rejected the challenge. And point number three, the Gemara suggested that Shmuel did not retract his position based on a mavui in which Eva's Bar-Ihi lived that was adjusted with a lechi, and Shmuel permitted it. The Gemara in Amud Beis clarifies that a shul also opened to the mavui that contained an apartment, making this a case of a mavui with one chatzor, the one in which Eva's lived, and one house, the apartment in the shul. After Shmuel's death, Rav Anan came and threw the lechi down because it didn't have two chetzeros with two houses each opening into it, and Eva's protested since the lechi was done under the direction of Shmuel. This seems to indicate that Shmuel did not retract his position. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that Shmuel did accept Rabbi Elazar's objection and retracted and required two chetzeros with two houses each. In this case, the chazan of the shul would eat his meals at his home in another chetzer and sleep in the shul. Since Shmuel held that makam lina gorim, where one sleeps, defines his residence, the shul building was considered a regular chatzor with two homes, the room the chazan slept in, as well as another apartment in it. This, together with the chatzer of Ivus, made this mabui legitimate, since it was considered to have two chatzeros. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Ein Dalad, and the simon is an aid, a witness, so here goes. The expert witness who is testifying in the case of a mabui with a ruin on one side, quoting with confidence the lashon of a mishnah, was asked if he saw the chazan who ate dinner at home go to sleep in the shul. Once again, it's a motion. The expert witness, that must be one daf, Ein Dalad. The expert witness who is testifying in the case of a mabui with a ruin on one side, which reminds us that there's a three-way machlokes regarding what kind of mabui can be adjusted with a lechi or a korah. And the Rabbi Yochanan says a mabui with a churva on one side can be adjusted, but not one with a vineyard path, because a churva is chazil adira, somewhat suitable for a residence. So the expert witness who is testifying in the case of a mabui with a ruin on one side, quoting with confidence the lashon of the Mishnah, which reminds that Shmuel's opinion was challenged based on the principle Ein lanu be'erevin el b'lashon Mishnah senu. We do not have the right to establish leniencies in the laws of Erevin other than those found in the wording of the Mishnah. So the expert witness who was testifying in the case of a mabui with a ruin on one side, quoting with confidence the lashon of a Mishnah, was asked if he saw the chazan who ate dinner at home go to sleep in the shul. Which reminds the case of Ivus Bar Yehi's mabui that Shmuel permitted with a lechi, because the chazan of the shul slept in the shul at night, and Shmuel holds makam lina gorim, where one sleeps determines his residence. So together with the other apartment there, it was considered a chatzer with two homes. So once again, the expert witness who was testifying in the case of a mabui with a ruin on one side, quoting with confidence the lashon of Mishnah, was asked if he saw the chazan who ate dinner at home go to sleep in the shul. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Not fine. So the simon for daf ayin is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martian, that must mean one daf ayin. The one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthlings be mevatel rishus to four neighbors explicitly, which reminds us, Abai asks Rabba, Chamisha sheshurim b'chatzer achas, if five residents are living in one chatzer, v'shachar echo mehem v'lo irav, and one of them forgot and didn't join in the erev with the others, k'shu mevatel rishuso, when he relinquishes his rights to allow the others to carry, tzarek levatel ko echo ve'echad alo, does he need to relinquish to each one explicitly or not? Perhaps it's sufficient to be mevatel rishus to just one of them. Rabba said, tzarek levatel ko echo ve'echad, he must be mevatel rishus to each one explicitly. Abai challenged Rabba from the first case in the Brisa, which teaches seven halachas regarding betel rishus. Echad shelo irav, noisen rishus ala echad she'irav. One resident who did not join the erev may relinquish his rights to one who did join. Abai said this implies that there was a third person in the chatzer. Otherwise, who did the second person join his erev with? And we see that the first person only had to be mevatel rishus to one of the residents. Rabba answered and said, Dahavi umis. He made his erev with someone who was there who died. Therefore, it was sufficient for the person to relinquish his rights to the resident that remained. So the one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthling be mevatel rishus to four neighbors explicitly, as they wished him condolences for the passing of his father. Which reminds us, Rabbi asked Rabbi Nachman, Yorish mahushi yevatel rishus, may an heir relinquish rights to property received on Shabbos from his deceased father? Do we say that since if he had wanted to join the Erev on Erev Shabbos, he could not, because the house and his share of that chatzer was not his, he can also not relinquish his rights, or perhaps Kari Da'avuhu, he is the leg of his father, meaning an extension of his father. Rav Nachman answered, Ani Oimer Mevato, I say an heir may relinquish his rights in the house he inherits, Vahani Debe Shmuel Tani Ein Mevato, but the Talmidim in Shmuel's yeshiva taught he may not relinquish his rights. So the one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthling be Mevato's Rishus to four neighbors explicitly, as they wished him condolences for the passing of his father, and praised the institution of Bithel Rishus. Which reminds us, the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman, who says the heir may be Mevatos Rishus, from a Brisa states, Kol Shem Mutter L'Mikseh Shabbos Hutel Kol Shabbos. Any chatzer that was permitted for the first part of Shabbos remains permitted for the entire Shabbos, but Kol Shem Nesu L'Mikseh Shabbos Nesu Kol Shabbos. And any chatzer that was restricted for the first part of Shabbos remains restricted for the entire Shabbos, Chutz M'Mevatos Rishus, except for the instance in which someone relinquishes his rights. This implies Ihu'in Yorish Lo, that he can be Mevatos Rishus, but his heir, his Yorish, cannot. The Gemara answers that the Brisa should state, Chutz Metoris Bithel Rishus. The Chatzer remains restricted except for the institution of Bithel Rishus. Rashi explains that an heir is included in the institution of Bithel, since he's considered an extension of his father. The Gemara brings further challenges to Rav Nachman's position. Daf Ein Av. So the symbol for Daf Ein Av is a donkey going E-ah, E-ah. So here goes. The demoralized donkey driver, that must be one Daf Ein Av. The demoralized donkey driver, after learning that Bithel Rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of kinyan, which reminds us two brises were brought to challenge Rav Nachman's position that a yorish may be mevato or rishus when he inherits it on Shabbos. Rav Yochanan said that the brises followed by Shammai who say Ein Bet Rishus b'Shabbos, that Bet Rishus may not take place on Shabbos, whereas Rav Nachman holds like Beis Hillel that it can. Abai explains the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, saying that Beis Shammai holds Bet Rishus mikne Rishusahu. The Bet Rishus is considered a kinyan, a form of transferring rights, and making a kinyan on Shabbos is usher. Whereas Beis Hillel says that Bet Rishus is the luke of Rishus ba'amahu, is a simple abandonment of rights, which is mutter to do on Shabbos. So the demoralized donkey driver, who, after learning the Bet Rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of kinyan, was informed his partnership with his neighbors using oil and wine didn't work as a shita. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ba'al Bais she'a shutav l'shcheinav. If a Ba'al Bais was a partner with his Mabui neighbors, Lezebiyan Lezebiyan, with this one with wine and with that one with wine, Ein Tzrich Nil Arab, they do not need to join in an Arab, meaning a shita, because the partnership is sufficient. If, however, Lezebiyan Lezebishemen, he was a partner with this one with wine and with that one with oil, Tzrich Nil Arab, they must join in an Arab. Rashi explains that they may not rely on their partnership since the wine and oil are in different containers. Rabbi Shimon says, Echodzeh v'echodzeh ein tzrich nil arev. In either case, they do not need to join in an Arab. Rabbi Yosef explained that the Malchus between the Tanakam Rabbi Shimon is based on a Malchus between Rabbi Yochim and Nuri and the Rabbanan regarding Truma oil that is floating on top of Truma wine, and the Tzvul Yom touched the oil, but not the wine. The Rabbanan hold that he only has invalidated the oil, whereas Rabbi Yochim and Nuri says, Shnein chiburin zeh lezeh, both of them, the oil and wine, are connected to each other, and therefore they both become invalidated. The Tanakhama holds like the Rabbanan that oil and wine are two separate entities, and Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who views the wine and oil as a single entity. So the demoralized donkey driver, after learning that Bet Rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of kinyan, was informed his partnership with his neighbors using oil and wine didn't work as a shita, and the barrel of wine they had purchased together couldn't be used either. Which reminds us, a third opinion is introduced in a brisa which states, Belezer ben Tanai said, in both cases in our Mishnah, they must join in an Arab, meaning a shita. Rav explains that if each person poured his jug into the same barrel, Rabbi Elazar ben Tanai agrees with Rabban that it is a valid Arab. He disagrees in a case where they purchased the barrel wine in partnership. Rabbi Elazar ben Tanai holds Ein Brera, that there is no retroactive determination of specific ownership, and therefore the Arab is invalid, whereas the Rabban holds Yesh Brera, that there is a retroactive determination of specific ownership, and the shittav is valid. The Ritva explains that the barrel of wine is viewed as if it had been divided into individually owned jugs after the purchase and then poured back into the vessel. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simfer Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of birthday cake. So I've done some major simanim surgery on this one. So now the simon reads, five families brought their bread and wine erev and shittav travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending in the mansion partitioned as groups to celebrate their rich father's birthday with a massive piece of cake, although they all wished they could have slept at home. So once again, five families brought their bread and wine, erev and shittav travel kits, which reminds us, on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, a brisa taught that an erev must be made with bread and not with wine. Rashi explained that erev mishum dira, an erev is symbolic of a residence, and a person's residence is determined by bread and not wine. A shittav, on the other hand, could be made with wine or bread. Rashi explains that a shittav merges the rights of the chetzeros and not the houses, and wine suffices to create that merger. Rav Meir ruled that it's necessary that a person make an erev and the shittav. In order not to cause the institution of Erev to be forgotten from the children who would say that their fathers didn't make an Erev. The Chami said that doing only one of them would suffice for that. Rabbi Nachumi and Rabba disagreed on what the Malchokos is about. One said that when a Shittav is made with bread, Rav Meir would agree that it suffices for the Erev. The only argument when the Shittav was made with wine. The other one said that the Chami would agree that when the Shittav was made with wine, that an Erev is also required. They disagree only when the Shittav was made with bread. So, five families brought their bread and wine, erev and shittav travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending in the mansion, partitioned as groups. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Chamisha chabur sheshavsu betrakling echot, five groups that spent Shabbos in one mansion. Beis Shammai say, erev echot chabur v'chabur, an erev is needed for each group. And Beis Hillel say, erev echot uchuan. One erev suffices for all of them, unless some of them are staying in separate rooms or upper stories. Rashi explains that they were divided into five areas in a large room, and each area had a door leading to a common chatzar, which also served residents of other buildings and opened into it. According to Beis Shammai, they would require five separate erevin with the other residents, as well as an additional erev to carry from one group area to the others. The Gemara presents a four-way machlokes regarding which type of partition Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree on. So five families brought their bread and wine, erev and shittav travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending in the mansion, partitioned as groups, to celebrate their rich father's birthday with a massive piece of cake, although they all wished they could have slept at home. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, Ha'achin sh'ayu ochin al shulchan aviyem. The Yeshenim bevatem, brothers who eat at their father's table but sleep in their homes, which Rashi explains to mean that their houses are in the same chatzar as their father's, which also includes other residents, tzrichin erev kol echod ve'echod. They need an erev for each one if they want to join in an erev with the other residents in the chatzar. The Gemara suggests that the Mishnah implies makam lina gorev. The place of sleep determines a person's residence. But Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Mishnah's case was where the brothers receive support from their father, but they don't live there. The Gemara brings a machlokas regarding what determines one's makam dira, a place of residence. Rav said pita, the place of bread, and Shmuel said lina, the place of sleep. Daf Ein Gimel. So the simple Ein Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. When the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast. Giant ostrich egg? That must be more on Daf Ein Gimel. When the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Mishe Yishol Chamish Nashim Mekabos Pras Mebalehen. Someone who has five wives who live in separate houses in a chatzar, but receive support from him, and he lives in a house in that same chatzar, v'chamisha avadim mekabim pras mirabehen, or five servants who live in separate houses but receive support from their master, who lives in that same chatzar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezer is matir the chatzar to be used by everyone in the case of the women, but is osurid in the case of the servants. Rashi explains that even though the servants are supported by the master, their relationship is not as strong as marriage. Rabbi Yehuda ben Vav is matir the chatzar in the case of the servants, but is osurid in the case of the women. Rav explained Rabbi Yehuda ben Vav's reason for holding that the master-servant relationship is stronger, based on the pasuk with Daniel b'Sfar Malka, and Daniel was in the gate of the king. The Miri explains that even though Daniel spent most of his time learning and was not actually in the king's court, since he was conscious of his obligations to the king, it was considered as if he was in the gate of the king. So when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast, which reminds us, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav Sheshes where members of yeshiva should measure their tchum from, if they eat their bread in the inns of a nearby valley and come to sleep at the yeshiva. And Rav Sheshes answered that they measure from the yeshiva. The Gemara asked that if this is so, then when someone places his Erev Tchum within 2,000 amas of his home and sleeps at home, why is the Tchum measured from the location of his Erev? The Gemara answers that in that case, Anan Sahadi, we can attest to their intentions, that if they could reside by their Erev, they would, whereas in the case of the yeshiva students, we can attest that they would prefer if people would bring bread to them in the yeshiva. So when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast, they politely turned around and went back to their dorms located in five chatzeros, where always one of them forgot to join in the Erev. Which reminds us, one of the four cases mentioned in the next Mishnah states, Chamish chatzeros besuchos zo lezo besuchos l'mavli, five chatzeros that open to one another and also open to a mavli, if they join in an Erev for the chatzeros and merge in a shita for the mavli, and one of the residents forgot and did not join in the Erev, with Tarn Kan Vakan. They are permitted here in the Chatzar and here in the Mavui. This seems to indicate that a Shittiv can serve in lieu of an Erev. Yet the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that both the Erev and the Shittiv are necessary. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir's concern was Shalo Shecheach towards Erev min Tinokos in order not to cause the institution of Erev to be forgotten by the children. But here, since most of the residents did join in the Erev, it will not be forgotten. Therefore, even Rabbi Meir would allow the Shittiv to serve in lieu of an Erev in this case. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf of Malkokas Rav and Shmuel regarding Mevatlin, Vechozrin, Mevatlin? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 2. Which daf when the Rabbi Meir's concern that children will forget the institution of Erev does not apply when only one resident forgets to join the Erev? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf of Malkokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel whether Bittul Rishus may take place on Shabbos? That's on daf Ein Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn the klal that the right to establish leniency as an Erev must be found in the wording of the Mishnah? That's on daf Ein Daled. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that the resident who is Mevatel Rishus is considered a guest of the other residents and may carry from their homes into the Chatzar? That's on daf Samachtes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have a three-way machlokas regarding what kind of mavui can be adjusted with a lechi or a korah and the difference between a mavui next to a churva and a mavui next to a vineyard path? That's on daf Ein Dal. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn when the Mishnah said brothers eat at their father's table, it meant they're supported by their father, but they eat at home? That's on daf Ein Beis. Good. Number 8. Which daf to learn the reason why the house of the one who is mevatel rishus is restricted to the other residents as well? That's on daf Samachtes. Good. Number 9. which stuff we have a machlokas, who has a closer relationship, wives to a husband or servants to a master, regarding being matir in a chatzar when they live in separate houses. That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel, good. And number 10, which stuff we have a machlokas regarding when Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim disagree that both an erev and a shittuf must be made. That's on Daf. Ayin Beis. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff do we learn about that miracle that occurred for the man who needed to nurse his son? That's on Daf. Nun Gimon Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn about Nasiv and Nishma? That's on Daf. Peches and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which stuff do we learn about the improper ways to say Amen? That's on Daf. Mem Zayin and Brachos. Excellent. Right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.